private hospitals that were forced to defer thousands of operations over fears COVID-19 would overwhelm the health system are preparing to start returning to do normal surgeries under Alert Level 3. But as well as facing a huge backlog, there are mounting fears over squeezed budgets. Among the tens of thousands of operations that had to be delayed were some cancer operations, joint replacements, as well as back, brain and gynaecological surgeries. New Zealand moves down to Alert Level 3 as of Tuesday morning. Director General of Health Dr. Ashley Bloomfield has said urgent diagnoses and surgeries will be the top priorities under that level. Private Surgical Hospitals Association President Richard Whitney, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, around the start of the lockdown, almost all surgery was on hold to allow anaesthetists to train to work in intensive care units. There was preparation, of course, across many of your facilities for a feared onslaught of COVID-19 cases. What kinds of operations have had to be cancelled and how serious were they in some cases?
The full range of elective surgeries were cancelled. Typically, private hospitals where they support oncology, chemotherapy services, they would have continued. Other procedures would effectively have been deferred for the time.
Do we have a number for how many?
Look, no particular number has been formulated, but it would be our best estimate, knowing the capacity that the private hospital has, as well as the public, that we would be talking in excess of 30,000 deferred elective surgeries.
So what happens now with that backlog?
As we move from a response capacity in support of the public system, we do now consider the recovery phase of COVID-19. And with that, the timeline for that is extended. Reference has been made. It could take up to 18 months to correct the backlog that has occurred. Whether it takes 18 months or less will really depend on how well we are organised and how quickly we can start. So our planning at the present time is giving careful consideration to how we would merge public-streamed patients and private-streamed patients into the private sector and maximise the benefit and ensure that the most needy, from a clinical perspective, have access to their surgeries at the earliest opportunity.
So do you expect to be doing a higher proportion, a significantly higher proportion of public surgeries than normal?
There will be variation depending on the DHB and the private facilities within those regions. Some private facilities have a higher level of public activity already or prior to COVID than others. Clearly, the message from the Ministry and the DHBs is that they see the private sector as a key component of providing greater capacity to their throughput for the recovery phase. And I would expect that there will be higher levels of public patient throughput through private facilities going forward.
Is that being clarified for the sector and is it being solidified, I guess? We're going to talk at the moment about what the impact has been on the sector as private businesses. Are you getting a clear plan and one that enables you to plan, both from a clinical perspective and a financial one?
The devil is in the detail, and you'll appreciate that the undertaking of moving from response to recovery has a lot of dimensions to that. There are considerations around which funding stream patients may come through, and I reference specifically ACC with regards to this. All of their surgical requirements have also been deferred over this time. So we have effectively three funding streams, ACC, public and private streams, that need to be merged and treated in an equitable manner. So consideration has been given to establishing surgical criteria that will give equity for patient access irrespective of the funding streams. That takes time. The ministry has taken a lead in the establishment or the development of such criteria and the framework by which we would be looking at receiving patients. And that will need to have the joint agreement in the ideal setting from both ACC and the DHBs as well as the private sector. I don't see any particular impediment of getting that agreement. We just need a wee bit of time to get clarity of what that framework looks like and how best that is applied.
How has that cooperation gone so far for the private sector from the point of view of your financial demands, your private companies? How much have private hospitals incurred financially to remain available to work with their public health colleagues for however the lockdown lasts?
Certainly there has been a financial burden placed on each of the private facilities. Effectively, if we do not undertake the procedures that we're capable of doing, and for the predominant source that is elective surgery, then there is no revenue coming through. The undertaking to support the public sector was never in doubt. We have always been morally committed to ensuring that we do the right thing and willingly do so. With that, however, is that we need to balance the financial component of the business. Most private hospitals will have made application to the government wage subsidy, and that certainly provides an element of relief, but certainly would not cover full costs.
Can you tell us what the full costs are cumulatively, what the estimate is?
About how we can best manage some of the financial pressures, and ideally that would be through doing elective surgery. That is what we do best, and a number of DHBs have utilised that opportunity and have pushed some of their surgical caseload into the private sector over the last few weeks.
All right. Could you give us a size for the amount it has cost the sector as a whole?
Not easily. But the sector is $1 billion sector per annum, and there would be significant proportionments of that kind of money on a monthly basis.
We've heard an estimate in the area of $30 million. Is that the kind of figure that people have come to?
Look, $30 million would be indications of what fixed costs probably would be aligned to. That wouldn't necessarily cover all costs of the facilities, but it would be in and around that size.
The DHBs, did they really have any choice but to follow the ministry's instructions? Did the private hospitals really have any choice but to follow the instructions?
Look, we wouldn't be opposed to following instructions. We have had the opportunity and are thankful that we've had input into the conversations, and we'd like to think that there will be no surprises for us in that. And the balance of that is that when the framework is established, it then is a matter of, is every facility able to deliver the same level of care? And the answer to that is no, it's not. So that's where the conversation and the arrangements with DHBs directly for the regions will take effect, and that's where the detail and the finalisation of arrangements will occur.
What have been the other consequences of the lockdown? We know that doctors have been perversely affected. We're going to talk more about that in a moment, because again, as private businesses, many of them have found their income streams lost right at the time. They had to be prepared for potentially very heavy demand. Many of the companies that support private healthcare are effectively small businesses, the diagnostic labs, for example. Are you hearing that many of them are struggling financially? And even so much that people in professions that are in enormous global demand are at risk of losing their jobs?
These are extraordinary times, and no one that I'm aware of would have had any experience or appreciation of the implications that this would have had. The private hospitals certainly have had financial constraints and pressures placed on them. the professional groups that support that and other service industry supports will have done similar concerns from a financial point of view. Look, we're no different than any other private entity within New Zealand, and our ability to sustain a period of reduced or no revenue has to be balanced with how do we then get back to what is deemed to be normal business, be it at a different pace and be it at a different norm. Our focus needs to be on recovery. It needs to be getting back to what we do well, and allow basically the activity that goes through it not only give benefit to patients but give benefit to the economy, which we're all dependent on.
To my point, though, for the likes of some of those private diagnostic companies, cancer and diagnostics, scans, ultrasounds, colonoscopy, the blood test labs, are some of those private operations under serious stress? And as I said, even people in professions regarded as being in huge global demand at risk of losing their jobs. Does there need to be a response to prevent that?
Without doubt, there is high risk of such entities being compromised and having impacts on staff. We aim not to be in that position, but each organisation will have different options and different tolerances for financial pressures. The key for going forward is for us not to shed skilled and talented staff at a time most needed to ensure that the health service remains robust but also has the ability to recover. So we would look to the Crown and to DHBs to do the right thing in a timely manner that actually takes some of that financial risk away.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Richard Whitney is of the private hospitals sector. He is the Private Surgical Hospitals Association president.